This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
Is anything truly original? When you think about the ideas or the technologies or the products that you're working on, are they truly original? Do they truly come from nothing prior, nothing that it's built upon? This topic came up in a recent conversation with some engineers and some attorneys talking about what is really patentable. What is it that you can submit to a patent office and get, in effect, exclusive rights to your ideas for the number of years in the future? A lot of young engineers think that in order for something to be patentable, it has to be something so original that nothing can exist prior to that. Fortunately, the patent offices recognize that there is no such thing as really no prior inspiration. We build on other people's ideas. We take other people's thoughts and demonstrations and early products and improve upon them. What the patent office looks for is obvious and non-obvious. If what you're working on is just an obvious next step to something that someone else prior was doing, then it is not patentable. If it's non-obvious, if you've made some kind of strange connection, but you've built upon something that somebody else is doing, and you came up with a completely unique and different way to use that, then you can get a patent for it. The fact is that I can't even think of really a good example of a technology or an innovation that didn't build upon or have some kind of an inspiration prior to that. And in fact, in the case of when you do file patents, the patent office requires that you have to list prior art. Art in the area of the technologies that came before your patent that has some kind of a connection to it. Now, in today's world, we have lots of examples of inspiration, things that we have worked on that originated because somebody else did something prior to it. You know, the most fundamental one is music, like cover bands. You know, someone taking the music done by somebody else and redoing it, and maybe redoing the theme or the lyrics a little bit to tailor it to them. Hip-hop and sampling, you know, where you actually take music snippets from other artists and put them together in unique and different ways. And look at podcasting. Look, when I started this podcast 9.5 years ago, you know, I have to keep reminding myself, you know, we were podcasting before iTunes. But I wasn't the first podcaster. I was one of the early podcasters. But there were podcasters out there before me that actually inspired me to take the risk and start doing what is now this podcast. And for me, what really inspired me to even do the podcast was back something that I experienced back in the 80s from a gentleman named Earl Nightingale. Earl Nightingale was one of the co-founders of Nightingale Conan, big training company. And Earl started this process where he was producing cassette tapes. Every month you would get a cassette tape mailed to you. And it was on self-improvement, inspiration, interesting stories, funny jokes. And I used to just look forward to these tapes coming in. And this was back in 1981, 82, 83. And back then, those audio tapes were $70 a month. And I paid for it out of my own pocket back when, you know, my wife and I were newly married. We had little kids, had no money. But I felt that that was something that I wanted to invest in myself. And today, I still have every one of those cassette tapes. Drives my wife absolutely bananas. But the fact is you can trace back to Earl Nightingale. And if Earl Nightingale was still alive today and you asked him, he would share what his inspiration was. We build upon the shoulders of others. That's basically how all innovation originates. And, you know, I'll go out on the limb, and I'm sure someone's going to send me an email on this, but I'm going to go out on the limb and say nothing is ever truly original. We always have some form of inspiration. Now, that inspiration can come from things totally not related to the industry or the customer segment, but our human mind sparks when we have some form of inspiration. It's our ability to connect the dots, to see maybe the obvious and maybe the not so obvious connections that lead to a new idea. And in fact, and I'm trying to remember the name, the title of the book. This is a book that came out a decade ago. If I recall correctly, I think the title is something along the lines of The Pinball Effect. And basically, this book goes back and connects all the dots of things that happened today and can take it all the way back to 14th century, the 12th century, and talks about all the random connections that had to all come together to result in the invention of the automobile or the invention of, you know, gas-powered engines, and et cetera. So if we look hard enough, there's always some form of underlying inspiration. Now, the fact is that we're all thieves. We steal ideas, we steal inspirations from others. In fact, I just recently finished a book by Austin Kleon, K-L-E-O-N, called Steal Like an Artist. I got this book when I was up at the TED conference this year up in Vancouver and read it. And he talks about the whole concept of in what we do as artists is really to take something that somebody else has done and modify it. Now, we think of the things, artists like Picasso and others, as being truly original. But there's interviews with Picasso where he says, no, I wasn't the first one to do this. I saw somebody else do it, and then I tried it and built upon that. And so the fact of the matter is that we're all thieves. We all steal. We all steal ideas from others and then mash them all up together. The question for you is where do you find ideas to steal? Where is your source of inspiration? If you're a musician, you probably listen to music like crazy. And you're looking for indie bands, and you've probably got some phenomenal playlists, which actually I'd probably like to listen to on Spotify that you've created. Music can be one source of inspiration. Reading. Now, I read, I'm probably in the neighborhood of 75 to 100 blogs a week that I scan through very, very quickly. I use Feedly and other types of tools in order to just literally consume what is going on out there and to find inspirations. Now, what I do find is I'll find certain bloggers that I really like, and I'll read all of that material and use that as inspiration. I'm also a big magazine reader. Fortunately, I no longer do it in buying the paper version. I'm all digital for my magazine reading. But I have probably 35 or 40 magazines a month that I read, and I really read them cover to cover. For some of you, it may be watching TV, watching videos, looking for those kind of inspirations on YouTube. And I watch some of those videos on YouTube, some of the more, creative ones. I just saw one with Fallon doing a clip of a bunch of Brian Williams segments, making Brian Williams rap by using single words off of his appearance on TV over the last year. And I'm watching that and I'm going, where in the heck did he come up with that idea, with that inspiration? And I'm sure if I ever get a chance to meet him, I'm going to ask him the question, what was it that inspired you to even think about doing those types of things? Now, in my own mind, I can connect what Fallon did. When I was growing up in the late 60s and early 70s, the big thing then was that you would actually use lyrics from songs to answer or use them as kind of spoof interviews. So you would use your little tape recorder, you would record into the microphone, you'd act like a reporter, you would ask a question, and then you would drop the needle at the right place on your vinyl record to have it play like a 4 or 5 word kind of lyric to a song, and it would be an answer to the question. And this was kind of a thing in school, and you'd swap the tapes around and see who could be the funniest, those types of things. So this was all, that's from the 60s and 70s. And then you look at what Fallon did with this Brian Williams video, and if you haven't seen it, you got to go out and watch it. It is hysterical. So watching TV, looking for any kind of those kinds of inspiration, social media, seeing what's trending, finding out what people are interested in, finding out what has kind of caught the passion. The challenge being in today's marketplaces is things are just changing at such a fast pace. It's hard to keep up. I find it hard to keep up. I can literally read and try to, stay up on all the new trends and everything going on. But boy, man, I'm running as fast as I can, and I find it hard. But, you know, what is the inspiration for you? You don't need to find inspirations in all areas. We all kind of have our own little way of looking things. Are you visually oriented? So are you looking for more imagery? Are you audio learning, audio focused? Maybe it's listening to books on tape or music or whatever. Are you tactile? Do you have to get things and play with them and take them apart and become, that becomes the process of your inspiration. So the one of the core areas that all innovators should be able to put their finger on and get the pulse of is, how do you find those inspirations? What are those things that have ignited those sparks in the past that kind of gave you that flash of inspiration? Now, here's one at least observation for me, is in many cases, this inspiration doesn't come from the standpoint of I read something and I get the aha moment. I read lots of things. For me, it's letting my subconscious kind of just noodle on it, spend the evening, sleep on it, and I get these kind of weird randoms. All of a sudden, my eyes pop open. I'm, noting it now in my Evernote notebooks or writing it down on a scrap piece of paper so I don't forget it. But it's that subconscious and letting that subconscious kind of act on it. And what I have found is the best way to get my subconscious to really think about it is to let it bake on it, feed it, feed lots of information into it, and let it kind of process it and deal with it and organize it and make those kind of random connections. So for me, it's not about just finding one area, but I tend to experiment with a lot of areas of inspiration, trying new things. In fact, there was a podcast a number of years ago I shared my habit of, when I'm traveling around the world, I go into bookstores or stop at magazine stands on the corner and try to find local, very regional magazines that I can kind of read and take a look at. And in that old podcast, I shared the story of being at the Old Tower Record Store, which is no longer there in Piccadilly Circus in London. This has got to be in 2006, 2007, something like that. And I was down in the basement at the magazine stand and came across this magazine called Graphmatosmo. Now, Graphmatosmo is a magazine dedicated to graffiti artists. Now, this is, like I said, 2005, 2006, 2007, some kind of time frame in there. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh my gosh, graffiti art is transitioning from being kind of this negative gang tagging thing to all of a sudden going mainstream. The magazine was talking about gallery shows of graffiti art, high-end photographers going out and, quote, doing graffiti portraits, capturing this graffiti art, so we have it for prosperity. And so, those were all things for me that was just kind of a real eye-opener in this case of graffiti art. And so for me, when I travel, I tend to try to want to find those kinds of inspirations, not letting it be just the same thing over and over and over again, but to find that breath. So again, find that inspiration, whether it's music, whether it's reading, whether it's watching TV, social media. And then once you find those things and learn how the best way to feed your subconscious so you have that inspiration, vary it up. Don't read always the same magazine. Don't always listen to the same music. Try and experiment. Learn or listen to new things, new areas. Now keep in mind, the real crux of today's show is really around this whole concept of the fact is that there's no such thing as originality. We all have some form of inspiration that drives what it is we do. What I find frustrating, though, is that people get out there and claim that they original came up with this idea. It was their idea. They had no inspiration. Aren't they just absolutely brilliant? I've seen this in the smartphone industry. I've seen it in the computer industry, in the software industry, and it's all bogus. What I'm going to challenge all of you as listeners of this podcast, and I'm challenging myself, and we need to keep each other honest, is that let's be transparent. Give credit where our inspiration came from. A number of years ago, I launched a product. Oh, this is 2011, 2010, I'm guessing. And it was a smartwatch. It was work that my team did with Fossil. I stood on stage, I think it was Shanghai. I stood on stage, made this big announcement, showed this watch, and it was a smartwatch that connected to your phone and you had apps and the whole nine yards. And nowadays you got all these guys running around saying, oh, we came up with the idea for the smartwatch, right? Well, I'm here to tell you that the smartwatch that we did back in 2010, and actually, we started the project back in 2007. Wasn't original even then. There was inspirations of early smartwatches going all the way back. You can go back to HP's. HP had a calculator smartwatch, a 001 watch, which actually is a pretty nice collector's item if you happen to get your hands on one. And even then, they were inspired to create the watch by others before them. So here's the challenge for you as listeners and challenge for me is give credit where our inspiration comes from. Acknowledge the fact that we are building our ideas, our innovations, our technologies on the shoulders of people that have been there before us. Transparency that we show will inspire others, because it gives permission to all innovators to acknowledge that inspiration. They no longer have to put on this fake facade that they came up with that original idea. It was all theirs. They did it. Aren't they smart? Aren't they great? When we all acknowledge that we have something inspired us to come up with whatever it is, great product or this great service that came out, and that transparency will inspire others. Rather than them trying to put their heads down saying, oh, I got to come up with a totally original idea. It's like, no, find things that are interesting that others are doing, build upon that, do great things, and acknowledge where the inspiration came from. And if we do that, and we do it effectively, one, people are going to be more willing to share. I'll be more willing to share with others. I'll feel comfortable getting inspiration from others, not feeling you got to hide it or kind of obscure it to make it look more original. If we simply just acknowledge the fact that we all inspire each other, we then, I think, will see a big burst in the number of ideas and the number of innovations that we all create. So for me, it really is about this whole concept of, there is no such thing as original. All of our ideas are built upon some form of inspiration from others. And for all of us, and I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure a number of you have found yourself in the same position of probably not being as transparent as we should be in acknowledging the inspirations that allowed us to create the innovations that we've all developed and delivered into the marketplace. So that's the challenge I put before you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you agree with me? Do you think that there's no such thing as really being original, that there's always some form of inspiration? And what's your thoughts on this whole issue of transparency? Go over to the show notes at philmckinney.com. Throw your comments up there. I'd love to get a conversation going. As always, we do thank you for listening to the podcast each and every week. And love to hear your feedback and thoughts. We're doing this live again on Spreaker, so you can hop over there and listen to it. We usually record this in Sunday afternoons, so that you guys have it for your Monday morning exercise or jogging or in the gym. But love to hear your comments, your feedback, your thoughts, and visit us over at the site at philmckinney.com and keep up on everything that's going on. With that, thanks. Talk to you next week. We'll be right back.